Good morning. How's everybody this morning? So great to have you with us this morning. What a sweet opportunity and worship and a chance to call upon the Lord in prayer, and so many of you stepping up in faith and just acknowledging that we just can't do this on our own, can we? We need the Lord. We need the Lord. So blessed by that. I'm so thankful for the many that are serving our children over here this morning. And as you can see, as you look around, there's just, you know, this room is starting to fill. And that's a blessing. This church is experiencing the growth of this community. And we're grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to minister God's word to you week in and week out. This week, we have a special guest with us this morning. And as you know, we've been working our way through this series on the solas, and we've been talking about by grace, through faith in Christ, for the glory of God alone. Amen? And we're going to just take a sidestep from that this weekend, and I've invited a gentleman to come and share God's word with us this morning. Just a little background there. 32 and a half years ago, I met this gentleman on my wedding day. Yeah, I mean, what a strange place to meet somebody, right? He was at my wedding. He didn't crash the party. He was invited. I just didn't know this. But had met his wife a few months earlier, and God developed a relationship. And now, 32 and a half years later, we share a grandchild together. And God has given us the privilege of walking with Eitan and Arit in ministry in Israel for the last 32 years. And supporting what God has called them to do there. And it's a sweet work of the Lord. And it has been a great privilege of ours to watch and observe and to partner with them in that. And to see how God has multiplied his word in the lives of Jewish people throughout the land of Israel. And Lord willing, as a church, we're going to have opportunity, as Pastor Mir even mentioned last week, to offer up a trip to Israel again in the future, and we look forward to that. And so if you haven't been, you need to go. You need to go. And so would you do me a favor? Would you just give a warm Grove welcome to Eitan Kashtin, our dear friend, and I'm going to have him come and share God's word with us this morning.
Well, you know, I don't feel that I'm a guest speaker here or a guest in this church. You know, we are here so many times, and it's a home for us. And you know, we have family, we have friends, we have so many people that we know here, and we follow what's happening here, and we are so happy because if I would try to choose a word that characterize this church is love. And that's what you feel when you come in and when you talk to people and when you come to the youth group. It's nice that you came second time. Unbelievable. And it's just wonderful to see, because I think that when you see believers that chose love, it's a good chance that they have good understanding of who God is, because God is love. And that's what's so nice about it. So we are happy to be here. We are happy to be part of the family. As you know, Carla is not here. Where is the camera? There. Hi, Carla. We miss you here. And I want also to tell you that we, Orit and me, are very thankful that you choose to love Amir. And you know, we have no choice. He's my son. What can I do? But you had a choice, and he can sense the love of many people, him and his family, and we are grateful for this. And Pastor Scott said that we are going to take a step aside from the series, but we're not going to. We're going to stay right there, because in the plan of God, there are six main covenants that God made with people, or God cut with people, mainly with the people of Israel, of course, but not only. And when we, it's not there yet, huh? Do I see there? Okay. Oh, here it is. It's coming. Technology is here. That's nice. And so we know that there is a covenant with Adam and with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and with David. But for us, the people who are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, according to the scriptures alone, the main covenant that we want to deal with is the new covenant, right? Not because it's a different one, but mainly because it concludes all the rest. And I know that in many, many places, we have a tendency to study each covenant by itself. And when we do it wrong, because there are not many covenants. There is one covenant that is divided in a way that each one of them lead you to the conclusion in the new covenant. And we should be so happy that we are all of us here who are born again, who are believers in Jesus, we are all under the big wings of the new covenant. And we want to talk a little bit about the new covenant today because this is the great blessing that God gave us. And when we think about the new covenant, naturally we go directly to Jeremiah 31:31, right? Because it's easy to remember. And it says, "Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So here is the new covenant that we're talking about. And we will stay with this verse or the verses around it most of the time. But before we go in, I want to make something clear. I want to say that God make or cut covenants with people, but he never, never makes agreements. You see, we tend to use the terms like it's the same, but it's not the same. God never makes agreement. God never make contracts with people. God cut covenants. And it's important because we live in an era that we do agreements or contracts for anything, right? So you buy a house, what do? You go to a lawyer and you make a contract and say, okay, I will give you this and this money at this and this time, you will give you your home. But if I will not give the money on the right time, I will not get the home, right? That's how it works. So we have contract, and the contract always have a way out. You can always break a contract, and when you break the contract, you go out. You don't need to do it anymore, because the other side will not do his part, and we are all happy or we are all upset. It's not important, but we do the same. In fact, one of the sicknesses of our generation that we took marriage from being a covenant to being an agreement. I don't know, do you have it in America? That couple, before they go to get married, they go and they make an agreement that if something goes wrong, so he will take the nothing and she will take all the rest. Right? But we make this kind of agreement that we look for the way out even before we went in. But marriage should be a covenant, not agreement. And it means that if I took the commitment to love my wife, and if I need to give my life for her, it's not really important if she's a good wife or a bad wife, right? Because it's my commitment in any case. And if she made a commitment to respect me and to be under my leadership, which in my case it's really hard to do, she needs to do it even when I fail, and I fail. But it's a covenant. It's not that she will do it if I do, and when it doesn't work well, let's break it and start something new. And I know life is complicated, but that's the whole point. Marriage should be covenant, not agreement. When you buy a house, make an agreement. It's good for the lawyers. That's how they make their money, right? So that's okay. But when we talk about something that has to do with God, it's always a covenant. God never leaves a way out. When God makes a covenant, or when God cut a covenant, as it says in the Bible, the fulfillment of the covenant never has question mark, but has exclamation mark. So it's true, and it will always happen. So we don't have to think about it. So even the covenant that God made through Moses, that we call it conditional covenant, it's not really conditional, right? Well, there are conditions. We'll talk about it in a minute. But it's not really conditional because the end result of the covenant is done. And it's not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. No, in the book of Deuteronomy. So in the first five books of Moses, you already have the end result of the covenant God made with Israel in Mount Sinai. And he says, okay, you know, if you will be bad guys, I will punish you, and I will punish you, and I will punish you. But then, I will take you back, because I love you. It's not the new covenant, it's the old covenant. It's the covenant with Moses. That's where God talks about it. Deuteronomy 30 is the right place to look at, but it's not all of it. And that's the reason that as part of the Mosaic covenant, there are sacrifices. You know, sacrifices does something really interesting, because with sacrifice, I can fulfill my part of the covenant while I'm breaking it. Right? That's exactly what you do. You see, I said, I told God I will never sin. Now I sin, so I broke the covenant. And God says, okay, let us fulfill the covenant while you break it, so I can keep you close to my heart. It's so nice, isn't it? It is so nice that God is willing to do something like this with us. So God make six different covenants, all of them expression of one thing: his love. That's how he shows his love. And when we look at all of it, we see a full plan of love. How you take people like us, and we just heard that there is not even one good person here. Before you said it, I thought that I'm the one, but probably I'm not. How God is going to take bad guys like us and put us in his kingdom? He makes a covenant. That's how he does it. So God says, I will give you a covenant and another one and another one. It's altogether is a plan of salvation, because God says that each covenant will give another something to the plan, and that's why the new covenant that came hundreds of years later cannot invalidate the old one. In fact, no, it's not invalidated. It's fulfilled. It takes you another step. And when we come to the new covenant, we may come to the conclusion of everything, and that's what we want to be. But if it's just conclusion, why do we need a new one? And I want to mention three reasons. You know, we have more, but three main reasons why we need a new covenant. And the first one is that because the people of Israel, it's us, it's not you, so we take the responsibility here now. Okay? Our people, we broke the covenant that we made with God. And in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 32, when it talks about the new covenant, you have it there, you can see in red, it says, I will give you a new covenant because my covenant you broke. That's the problem. You see, theoretically, if we would keep the covenant, everything would be fine, right? But we broke the covenant. So God, in his merciful, in His grace, in His love, He gives us another one. Say, okay, I will give you a new one. And no, in the Mosaic Covenant, we had many conditions. And we, the sons of Israel, said in Exodus 19, we said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This was our part, right? He said, I will give you this and this and this and this and this and this. And said, okay, we will do what you say. Okay, that's what our part. And then just a little later, we said, all that the Lord spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. We will do and obey. You know what's the problem? We didn't do, and we didn't obey. That's the problem. If we would do and obey, we would not need a new covenant. But we didn't do, and we didn't obey. And I must tell you, we don't do, and we still don't obey. That's the story of our nation. And God punished the nation according to the covenant. Because He said, if you will not do it right, I will punish you, and I will punish you, and I will punish you, and I will finally kick you out of your land. So He did it the first time, and He did it the second time, and He did it the third time. And now, when you come to Israel, it's not really important what language you speak. You will find people speak your language, because when God said that He will scatter the people all over the world, that's what He meant. So you come to Israel, and you have Russians and Koreans and Ethiopians, and you name it, we have it. But the goal was always to bring Israel back according to the covenant that God made with Abraham and with Moses. This was always the story of salvation. Always the story of salvation. So God made another covenant, a new covenant, because we broke the first one. So makes sense. The second reason is that God made a new covenant to protect His good name. You see, we really think that we are in the center of everything, but we are not. We say, God gave us a covenant because, or saved us because He loves us. Is this true? Yeah, God gave us a covenant because He loves us? Yes, say yes, smile, be happy, sure. Sure, it's true, of course. But it's not the only reason, because He says in Ezekiel 36, thus says the Lord Yahweh, it is not for your sake, but for my holy name that you profaned among the nations. You see, there is a problem, because God punished us and kicked us all over the world. So now you have Jewish people anywhere. Anywhere. So if you like Jewish food, anywhere you go, look for it, you will find it. Right? Anywhere you go, you will find Jewish people, because God kicked us out. And the result of this would, naturally, should be that we repent and say, okay, God, you punish us, we want to go back to you. So we repent and let's make it better. But we didn't. You see? What a tragedy, huh? It could be completely different, but we didn't. So the nation started to say, okay, we have all these Jewish people, Israel here, what happened to their God? Maybe He cannot fulfill what He said. Maybe He didn't tell the truth. And they start to think bad things, not about us, which would be rightly, but about Him. This is totally wrong. And God said, when I give you the new covenant, everybody will know. Because when you look at the history, you will not find one nation that was away from their homeland for 2,000 years and came back. Not even one, right? So what do you know? Probably these people have better God than others. That's why He took care of them. So it's not important what people try to do. This group of people were always protected. And now we are back in our land, and we have our own state and army and achievements, and all the nations can know. They know. No other nation would be surviving the Holocaust, for example. If God is not there, it cannot happen. For those of you who were in Israel, I don't think that any other nation would survive the war in Yom Kippur in 1973. I tell you, I was 13 then. This was that close to be done with the state of Israel. But no, God was there. And those of you that never came to Israel, repent. You see, God made Israel the light for the nations. So when we obey, people can look and say, wow, this God is so good to his people. When we disobey, people can say, wow, this God is so holy that he will not let even his own people sin without getting the results. So God took these people, gave them a covenant, and now we can all see it. Right? And when he brings Israel back to their land, when he does what it's happening right in our days, we can say, wow, this is the God, the strong guy, God that stands for his word. So nice, isn't it? And the third reason for the new covenant, now we come to all of us, is that the new covenant is the way of salvation. You see, God gave Israel the Mosaic covenant, but he never meant for us to be saved by the law. It was not the point. In Romans 3, it says that by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes knowledge of sin. You know, when I think about my judgment day before God, I don't want him to be just with me. I want mercy. I don't want to have a fair trial. I'm going to go to hell. I want mercy. I want love. I want... King David wrote, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for no person living in righteous in your sight." Not even one. Not even one. I don't want to go to trial with God. James says that even if you keep the whole law, but you miss one point, you will be guilty of all of it. You see, we like to separate things, but the law of God is not a group of commands. The law of God is a command. You do it all, or you don't have it at all. Now, on the other side, the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits of the Spirit, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit that has joy and love and all the list. You cannot be joyful when you are not loving. No, it doesn't work. It's only one. The law that God gave Moses was for condemnation, not for salvation. You see the point? The law is good to find a way of life, but it will not give you life. Life we receive with the new covenant, way of salvation. And how it happens? Romans 3 again. It says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophet, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe." That's the only way of salvation. No, that's the story. We can look for other ways, and we will find ourselves in the deep desert where you cannot find your way back. We need to understand. We need to understand that anyone ever believed, anyone ever saved, before the time Jesus came to the world and after he left, and during these years, everybody is saved by the means of the new covenant. By grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, in Christ alone. That's the story. So that's why we need a new covenant. What are the characteristics? Well, you have long words. We have it all short. of the new covenant? Okay, let's go through it quickly. When God made a covenant with, or when he talks about the new covenant with Jeremiah, he says that it's not like the covenant which I cut with their fathers in the day I took them by hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt. Then he explained the difference, and he says, but this covenant which I will cut with the house of Israel after those days, and he started to explain, what is this new covenant? What's the difference between this one and the old one? And he touches just a little bit, few things. And the first thing that he says, that in the new covenant, God is the only one that works. Well, that's good, right? Because whenever I work, it doesn't work well. But just look at these verses. No, I highlight just the verbs to show you how much it is in everything in first person talking about God. And he says, I will put my law. I will write it. I will be their God. I will forgive. I will remember. Then in Ezekiel 36, it says, I will take, I will gather, I will sprinkle, I will cleanse. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove, I will put my spirit. I will save you. I have spoken. And what about us? What do we do? What do we do? Nothing. I like it. You see, we do nothing, and therefore, because nothing is dependent on us, we have a good chance to success. You see? I want to tell you, yesterday morning, we played soccer together. You know, Amir and me and some other guys, a few from the church here too. And when they divided us to two teams, after playing twice already, I realized that my team is not so good. Okay? So what came to my mind, it's all dependent on me now, right? Because the team is not so good. So I will do my best and I will run. I'm old. I will walk as much as I can. And I really tried. But after about 45 minutes, when they scored 5 times and we didn't, and Amir, my faithful son, scored twice against his dad, we all realized that something is not working well. So I understood that I need now a new covenant. Now, the covenant I had with the old team was not good because it was all dependent on me, so we lost. So with all this deal, I moved to the other team. Okay? And we started to play again. And I tell you what, we won. No, I know what you think. No, we took the 5 goals that they scored first and we deleted it and we started again and we still won. You know why I had so much success? Because there were so many people there playing much better than me. So I could be just part of it. I could enjoy the blessing when it was not dependent on me. It was dependent on somebody that is much bigger, stronger than me. I'm not talking about you now. It's not the point. You just sit down. No. You see the point? The new covenant takes our part out because this is where we fail. And God takes all the responsibility from anything, for anything that will happen. And this is so good, right? Because now we can have success. That's the whole point. It's not up to me, it's up to Him. And I can do and obey because He's going to make sure that that's what happens. It's not up to me anymore. So now I can enjoy the blessing. This brings us to the second characteristic I learned. That's nice. With the new covenant comes the spiritual restoration restoration of the nation. Now, how this happens is because the change is going to come from inside and not from outside. That's a big deal. You see, the main thing that God says, I will put my law within them and on their heart. You see, obeying the law of God is not simple. I know that it sounds, why didn't you do it? Well, it's hard to obey the law of God. You know, you have to think what you do and what you eat and everything. You know, it's a big deal. And you're not always remembered. You don't always want. But it says, I will put it within them. I will give you heart of flesh. No, the heart will change. And now this is a big deal. Because now, anywhere that I go, I don't have the excuse to say, I don't know what God says about it. Because His law sitting in my heart. It's not something outside that I must go and check and go to the rabbi and ask and see what he says about it. No, no, no. We are not there anymore. I have the conscience. I have the word of God ready. And God says, open your heart. I will put it there. I will put it there for you. It's nice not to be dependent on the priest at the temple, that he will do a good job with the lamb that I brought for sacrifice. You see, I may do it right, but he may do it wrong, and I didn't get the forgiveness that I was looking for. So I need to go back to work to finance another lamb, or maybe another bull, and go and do it all the time. God says that He took it upon Himself. Now, last week, Amir read from Isaiah 53. I want to just repeat some of the verses, not all of it. It says, it was our sickness that He Himself bore. He was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment of error was laid on Him, upon Him. By His wounds, we are healed. You see? It's not up to us anymore. It's up to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Romans, Paul wrote, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The new covenant takes care of the problem of sin. That's what it does. See, the law of Moses never did it. The law of Moses said, hey, you are guilty, you are guilty, you are guilty. The law of Moses told me, I have no chance to make it. No, 32 years ago, we went to the wedding, and then we went to the Master's Mission at the mountain in North Carolina, and we started to read the Old Testament for our first time, really. And the first thing that I could say, no, if there is God, I didn't think then that God exists, but I said, if there is God, and the law of Moses, this is His word, how you say it in English? I'm in hot soup, right? I'm in a big trouble. And the law of Moses brought Orit and me directly to the right place, because we had to run to the arms of the merciful God, to the cross of Christ. We had no choice. No, believe me, I didn't want to do it. I didn't think that, until then, I didn't think that there is one Jewish believer in the world. We thought that we are the only one. And I must tell you that 30 years ago, there were not many. We were not the only one, but there were not many in Israel. But we thought that we are the only one. But that's what God did for us. And when God took the sin away, he did another thing for us. He talks about it in John 14, that he will give the Spirit, he will put his law in our heart. You see the connection? That's the connection, right? In the new covenant, the law of God is in my heart, the Spirit of God in my heart. So a heart of stone, when you add to it the Spirit of God, become heart of flesh. Right? You see them Jewish mathematics there? That's what it is. And God says, I will do it. I will do it for you. And the blessing, the big blessing is, as it says in Ezekiel 36, it says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah says the same, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And of course, we have it in Revelation, we have it in so many places. But when we talk about what is the blessing of the new covenant, that's the blessing. No, he will be my God. I, the sinner from Israel, will be his son. See, that's all. Do I need anything more than this? That's enough. He gives me more, but even if that's all that I have, good enough, huh? He will be my God. I'm his son. The third thing that he talks about, I will not go into it because I think it's not as much talking to our lives here. He talks about also physical and geographical restoration of the nation of Israel. Okay, we talked about it a little bit. We see it happening. But I want to jump to the next point and to ask, new covenant for who? This will be the last thing that we talk about. Almost. Now, I always remember something else, and our flight is tomorrow morning, right? We have time, no problem. You know, when you read about the new covenant in the Old Testament, it makes everything very clear, right? Because Jeremiah says, days are coming, declared Yahweh, when I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Ezekiel says, therefore say to the house of Israel. So the two sides of the covenant are fairly clear, right? You have the side of God, the active side, and you have the side of Israel, the sinner side. Okay, those that contribute nothing. And it seems that it's only for Israel, but I want you to look at Isaiah 49, verse 6, because there we see that God declared that his salvation is bigger than the nation of Israel. Okay, it's not something that you can close only for us. It says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to cause the preserved one of Israel to return. I will also give you as a light of the nations, so my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. See? By the way, now you should be very happy. That's your time. Okay? The God of Israel is not the God of Israel. He's the God of the world. He's the God of the universe. And his salvation is not just for Israel, it's for all of us. by the way, with no difference. We won't talk about it today, but with no difference. But this is something really big, right? So the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, the new covenant that God made with Israel includes those who believe to the end of the world. Meaning what? Meaning that it came out from Judea and Samaria and went to Asia, as we know, as we read, and then it went to Europe, right? Remember? Paul going to Europe, shared the gospel there, and it starts to move, and it goes, and it goes, and then it got all Europe, and goes to Africa, and it goes, it hit Cuba. It hits sunny Florida. They told us that it's sunny, you know, the last 2 weeks. But it hits anywhere because the salvation of God is so big. It's so big that nobody can stop it. And when God says that every tribe and every tongue will believe, you go to Kenya and you find this small El Molo tribe. And I met a believer from El Molo tribe. No, it's how many people El Molo has? All over the world, 500 maybe. It's so small. There is one family of believers there. You see, the salvation of God is not for us. It's not for the Jews. We cannot take ownership. It's not us. It does mean that all of us who were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, for the glory of God alone, we all share the same blessing. So we do not have any reason to look down on anyone or look up to anyone, but to enjoy what we got when God put the Holy Spirit in our heart. New covenant. So let's put the bottom line now. So God made, we said, 6 covenants, right? Each one of them fulfilled in the new covenant. So God made a covenant with Adam and Eve, and he loved them. And therefore, when they sinned against him, instead of casting them out of his sight, he covered their sins and gave them a promise of salvation. We talked about it last week, right? That's fulfilled in the new covenant. And God made a covenant with Noah. He loved Noah. Therefore, he saved his family and told him, no, I will not destroy the human race again with the flood. I will not do it again. In fact, I will save them. This is fulfilled in the new covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham and promised to love him and to bless the nation through him. That is fulfilled in the new covenant. And God made a covenant with Moses. And he told the people of Israel that they will be the light for the nations. So the light is not only for us, the light is for everyone. That's fulfilled in the new covenant because you will not find a better source of light than Jesus Christ himself. And God made a covenant with David, and he loved David, and he said, the Messiah will come from your lineage. This was fulfilled in a beautiful way in the new covenant in Jesus. And this is the new covenant, again given by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, as described in the Holy Scriptures alone. Let's pray. We thank you, God, so much for your love. because your love finds its expression in a full way, in a special way in the new covenant that you cut with the people of Israel and the house of Judah and with whoever believe in your Son, in Jesus Christ. And yes, God, we know that we failed. We know that we are sinners. And we know that we have no hope without you. But with you, since you took all the responsibility and since you are so faithful to your covenant, we have hope and we can look forward to the time that we will be in your presence forever and ever. We just ask that until we get there, we'll be faithful and we will be glorifying you in any way that we live our lives. That we will be holy and we will be sharing the gospel with others. It will be just like you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.